following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. On today's program, we will look at Ebola. The number of new Ebola cases in West Africa continues to drop sharply, raising the hope that efforts to fight the epidemic are succeeding. WHO figures show that there were 5 cases this month in Sierra Leone, with Guinea reporting no new cases for the first time in 12 months. On the program today, we will take a close look at Liberia's experience in fighting the disease. Liberia was recently declared Ebola-free for the second time. Deputy Health Minister Tolbert Nwenswa was in Washington, D.C. recently. He spoke to Voice of America's Jackson Vunganyi about some of the lessons learned on the front lines in Liberia.
Liberia was first declared Ebola-free in May, but a new case in the month of June reversed that status as authorities continued to monitor the situation. Tolbert Nyeswa is the Deputy Minister of Health in Liberia. He's also head of Liberia's Incident Management System, in charge of coordinating efforts to fight the deadly virus. He says that gaining the Ebola-free status is attributed to collective efforts between the government, people and the international community.
This time we've gained knowledge, experience, resiliency as a people, and we were able to turn the tide very quickly with the 2 cases that occurred, the March 20th case and the June 29th case 2015. We were able to mobilize our team, the community that got affected, the Nidowen community in Magibi County and the Magibi people.
As of early September this year, 2 incubation periods have passed and no new cases have occurred in Liberia. Nyeswa says that the health system in Liberia continues to take precautions to prevent transmission in the country.
A collective effort, the international support, running the ETUs, the laboratory system, the community support, the psychosocial epidemiology team, contact tracers, barrier teams, community-based initiative groups.
Figures show that almost 5,000 Liberians have died from Ebola since the outbreak began in mid-2014. A recent conference convened at the UN raised over $3 billion to help in the Ebola recovery efforts for Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Nyeswa says that the turning point in the efforts against Ebola came after the 3 West African countries realized that they had to collaborate in the fight.
Even our colleagues in Guinea and Sierra Leone, we work together very closely. Remember, at a certain point, we were approaching the crisis as country crisis, individual country dealing with this situation. But at some time, our leaders came together and took head on this as a regional crisis, as a Mano River Union crisis. And with this, we worked together as a team. We knew very well that one country being Ebola-free was not enough to save the region.
WHO says that while it is confident that Liberia has interrupted transmission, it is worried that outbreaks persist in neighboring countries of Guinea and Sierra Leone. It says that this situation creates a high risk that infected people may cross into Liberia over the region's porous borders. There were 5 confirmed cases of Ebola reported in the week ending 13th September, and they were all in Sierra Leone. Meanwhile, Guinea recorded its first Ebola-free week in over 12 months. For Voice of America, I'm Jackson Vunganyi.
And now for an in-depth discussion on Liberia's experience and beyond, we are joined by Liberia's Deputy Health Minister, Mr. Tolbert Nwenswa, who is now in New York. Mr. Nwenswa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is my distinguished, profound pleasure to join you again. Thank you.
Yes, and again, we are very, very happy to have you live on the program. So let me start by asking you this very simple question. Liberia is declared, for the second time, Ebola-free. How does that make you feel?
We've beaten Ebola twice now. That's a learning experience for all of us. after dealing with the worst Ebola crisis in human history since we known about Ebola 1976. And so it is a moment of reflection. It is a moment of great thinking. It is a moment of looking back and reflection on the number of lives, precious lives that are lost in our countries, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, and Liberians that got sick. Today, we're still living with the tag of the disease. We have survivors that we need to care for. We have orphans from the disease that we need to care for. We need to rebuild our healthcare system. The fabric of the society, social economic fabric, needs to be taken care of. So we are still reflecting on what to do next, especially building a healthcare system for our country.
So this is the second time that Liberia was declared Ebola-free, as we mentioned. What went wrong the first time? How would you explain the fact that there was another new case that emerged, and then you were almost back to square one, almost?
We should know and take cue that this is the first time that the disease have affected three countries, regional crisis we were dealing with. The productive number of cases have overwhelmed the healthcare system of our country in the second wave of the outbreak. And so now that we went through it, we've learned by doing, we gained the necessary experience. Our community gained the resiliency that can be shown from the recent outbreak, the 2009 outbreak from Maigibi, the Nidowen community, the resiliency of the community, the resiliency of the Liberian people. And so we've learned a lot. We know what to do. We know how to deal with it now. And so the second round was there with decisively. And what we need to do, and we are doing right now on the ground, is to build our surveillance system so that it can detect, protect, and respond immediately if we get another case, because the disease is not over yet.
Yes, and the neighbors are still have some cases, and there are still, as WHO mentioned in its report, there are still room for concern and to be vigilant. Now, at this point, when you left your country, what type of precaution are being taken for travelers who are leaving Liberia?
What we do know is that the region has made progress since 2 years, the Ebola crisis that we've been dealing with, the 2014-2015 Ebola crisis. Mm-hmm. The numbers are also down to single digit in Guinea and Sierra Leone. That's a good news that we highly appreciate. We are in strong solidarity with our colleagues there. When I left Liberia, we were rolling out our integrated disease surveillance strategies and guidelines. We were also implementing the International Health Regulation Program back home. We're looking at reinvigorating our surveillance system, our healthcare facilities to rebuild, deliver needed life-saving healthcare system for immunization, for malaria control, infectious diseases. And so we were still informing Liberian residents and citizens of Liberia that it is indeed important to still be vigilant. It is important to continue what we know best that kept us safe, and watching community engagement, psychosocial support, keeping our isolation unit up so that if we have a case, we can isolate it quickly, we can test it quickly, we can do our contact tracing, surveillance system. And so these are the things that we continue to see. And it goes to our six top countries, Guinea and Sierra Leone, are also doing surveillance on our survivors. We continue our semen testing program to deal with resistant Ebola and also care for survivors. They need our care. They need our support. They are heroes. They survive the disease. This is the time to give them the necessary support. We cannot fail them. This is the message.
At this point, you talked about the fact that it's a time for reflection, to see the way to move forward, how to take care of orphans, survivors, and keep up the civilian system and other issues. So at this point, when you look at where you are, where you came from, and where you are today, Liberia is one of the countries that has been very much affected by the outbreak, but also has very much successfully addressed this outbreak. What do you see the priorities in terms of the general picture when it comes to addressing the healthcare system?
Before Ebola, Liberia's healthcare system was making tremendous progress, so to speak, though there were still enormous challenges in the system. The system we saw very well, the Ebola crisis exposed the weakness of the system, and therefore, collectively with our partners, international partners, the government of Liberia, the people of Liberia, the Ministry of Health, under the leadership of our dynamic minister, Dr. Dan, we were able to develop a resilient healthcare system policy and plan, and that investment plan is now being rolled out in the country. Have we made significant progress on this? I would say no. Do we need to make additional efforts to improve the healthcare system of our people? I would say yes. Are we making the efforts to build human resource capacity, to build our shadow infrastructures, to look at the issue of supporting human resource for healthcare workers in the country, looking at surveillance system, which is very, very key. Surveillance system needs to improve at the community level, at the district level, at the county level, and even at the regional level. Looking at critical supplies, the drugs and medical supplies, reaching to the last mile of our health system. These are critical priorities we are looking at. And we have the team in place right now trying to see how we work on that and harness also the international goodwill and leverage on the resources available, get the coordination of all of our partners to align behind the resilient plan at those key priorities in our effort to build Liberia's healthcare system.
So, Mr. Nyaswa, this sounds like many priorities at once. How do you go about doing that, tackling all of them?
Human resource is key. If you were to put them in a scale of preference, human resource, the workforce of our system is very, very key. Surveillance system is also priority number two. Liberia is now talking about having a public health institute. You know, the reason why Ebola affected us, it did the way it did, was testing system was not available. We didn't have the infrastructure available to isolate people very quickly. We didn't have that strong community engagement. And so building infrastructure, health, human resource for health, these are critical number one priority that we are tackling right now in the country.
Now, tell us about, if you were to share with us some tips that really made the fight against Ebola in Liberia a success, what would you say? What can your neighbors learn from you?
Coordination, one plan, one policy, one strategy was key in the Liberia response. As myself, head of the team, we had one plan, one program, one strategy, and this plan was aligned. All of our international partners aligned behind this one plan. And we also put in place what we call a thematic group strategy that was serving thematic areas: case management, laboratory system, epi surveillance, community engagement. But above all, the political leadership of our country was very, very strong from the level of the president. And then you saw the community resiliency was critical. We had our community grouping, community health workers, community-based initiative was going on. People were counseling, psychosocial support, counseling people who were affected and infected with the virus. Our EPM system was giving support back to the community. Community people were getting in touch with their relatives that were affected from the disease. So they are combination. They are combination of strategies that beat the disease and turn the curve. And today, Liberia has beaten Ebola twice.
And that's good news indeed. Mr. Nyenswa, we will continue this conversation. We just want to take a break, a very short break. And when we come back, we will continue our very, very informative discussion with you. So please don't go away. Stay with us and we will be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. If you're just joining us, today we are discussing Ebola, but with a special emphasis on Liberia's experience. As you know, Liberia was declared twice Ebola-free. Liberia was also one of the countries most affected by this outbreak, and we are trying to understand what was the right approach, the successful approach that the country took to enable them to go from very much affected to a success story. And joining us to do that, we are very, very happy to have with us the Liberia's Deputy Health Minister, Mr. Talbert Nyenswa, who is joining us. He is presently in New York. And Mr. Nyenswa, again, thank you for joining us. So let me ask you this. Recently, when a case of Ebola was discovered in Liberia, there were some reports saying that it was sexually it was possibly a case of sexual transmission. What can you tell us about it?
What we know is, and to tell the scientific community and to tell the world at large, the West African Ebola crisis have taught us a lot of lessons. There were a lot of unknowns that we are discovering right now. There were those things that we knew before the Ebola crisis. There are some of the theories that are now being modified because of what we do know with the West African Ebola crisis, especially Liberian crisis, and we were intervening and implementing activities to get to zero and resilient zero and maintain 42 days. We were also carrying on experiment, research that would give the world information on how to deal with future Ebola crisis. And one thing that we do learn before the West African Ebola crisis, the literature said that in 90 days, the disease can still be persistent in the semen of a survivor. In Liberia, there was an association of sexual intercourse with a 44-year-old female after over 172 days of a survivor. And so this has changed the way we look at the percent of Ebola virus disease in the semen to change the protocol. And this is why we are intervening, working very hard with our survivors to ensure that we work with them, give them all the support, do a lot of research, give them information in how to prevent sexual transmission of the Ebola virus disease. In March, we saw a case that came up March 20th, to be precise, that was linked to sexual transmission. the June 29 infection, that case, we are still investigating the source of the chain of transmission. To date, we haven't known yet. Everything is on the table. We are investigating sexual transmission. We are investigating whether it's an animal source infection. And so there are a lot of unknowns that the Ebola crisis is setting us. We're doing natural history study in Liberia, looking at what's affecting survivors. Some survivors are coming down with eyes problems. Some are having psychosocial problems, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. And all of these things have been investigated. This is what the Ebola crisis in West Africa has taught us.
So basically, when we look at the way the scientific community has approached this crisis, given its extent, what do you think in terms of the reaction of the international community? Because there have been some criticism of, you know, WHO, for example, whereby people, a group like MSF has said that the situation was very, very critical, but then criticism say WHO did not react quick enough. From your experience dealing with this crisis in your country, how do you feel in terms of the way the international community has reacted in helping Liberia and the other two countries address this outbreak?
Let me put it this way. What is important at this stage is how the world, the scientific community led by the World Health Organization, come together and deal with future epidemics, future pandemics, future health crises. This is what interests me. And this is what, as I go from capital to capital, I was in Berlin with Mr. Bill Gates talking about future epidemics and future pandemics. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I was in Atlanta, met with the Director General of CDC, Dr. Tom Frieden. A few weeks ago, George, your VOA, Jackson, your VOA colleague, met me in Baltimore talking to the public health community at the Johns Hopkins University. Today I'm in New York trying to make some talk at the General Assembly of the United Nations to put the view forth that the mistakes we learned from the West African crisis should never, ever be repeated anywhere in the world. We've understood what Ebola did to the region, the number of people that lost their lives will never come back at this time. It's sad that the number of persons died and got affected. My account of what went wrong in Liberia is that the world should have come in early to prevent the number of lives that lost. Mm-hmm. But yet, we learn lessons. It is good to prepare for the future. But when the international community came in to our rescue, they came very big and huge. And that collaboration and international cooperation can be highly appreciated by every Liberian. The fact that the United States government led the international response there with the United Nations family, civil society organizations like MSF, supported the government of Liberia, and we worked together very, very closely on the incident management team that I was chairing together with my colleagues who worked with me on the international, on the incident management team, and then the community at large. Liberian understood that we were speaking the truth, but not in the truth, and was giving them the information that they needed to prevent and protect themselves from the looming catastrophe.
So at this point, Liberia is the only country that has been declared Ebola-free, twice, actually. So what type of collaboration have you had with the neighboring countries in terms of exchanging perhaps skills and human resources or other resources to tackle this epidemic? Was it a concerted effort among countries, or did each country have to really focus on its own?
From at the inception, the beginning of the crisis,
we were approaching it as individual countries approach. But then we saw there were cross-border infections, people from Liberia infecting other places in Guinea, people from Guinea crossing into Sierra Leone, people from Sierra Leone crossing into Liberia because the plurality of our borders, the intermarriages, cultural intermarriages, markets and trade between the three countries. So we were, from the beginning, approaching it, okay, let's deal with Liberia. Let Sierra Leone deal with their issue. But at some time, our leaders from the political level realized very strongly that we needed to approach this as a region. And so we as technicians also look at this as a regional crisis. So we're having cross-border meetings, and they are still taking place as I speak, learning lessons from each other, the failures, the challenges, the progress, the success stories, and sharing them with each other. I have visited Sierra Leone, met with my colleagues. They're great guys, the Paulo Conte, the Steven, who are in the National Ebola Response Center. Met with them, visited some of the district offices. And what my advice to them during my visits from my report was that, and I also shared my report with the OMIA team that was on the ground, the United Nations Mission for Ebola Response, that community engagement was key. Because what I saw and listened to in Sierra Leone was people were escaping quarantine, infecting other people, and that did happen also in the Liberian response. At certain times, Monrovia was affecting the rest of the country. So we were able to work with the community. You have to work with the communities very, very closely. Understand the problem. Use community-based initiatives to get people to trace, to be their own contact tracers, their own active case finders, and support their own community-based initiatives.
So before we wrap up, Mr. Nyanswa, if you were to give us a couple of pointers in terms of the way forward. I know you mentioned you basically on tour, if I can say that, to raise awareness, support, and really educate about this crisis and lessons learned. If you were to give us some pointers in terms of the way forward, for Liberia, but also for the world to know, what are some of the things that you're sharing with people? You talked about mistakes never to be made again, lessons learned. What are some of the pointers that you are talking about?
I am very, very much extremely pleased, exceptionally certified that the United Nations itself is looking at reforming the World Health Organization. That's an encouraging news. I'm also exceptionally pleased that Dr. David Nambaro, who's the special envoy to the UN Secretary General, whom I work with very, very closely in the Ebola response as the special envoy, is now chairing the WHO reform. We had some official meetings between ourselves, and some of the recommendations that I am giving, and some of those recommendations are enshrined in the policy paper that the expert group chaired by Mr. Bill Gates are enshrined in that expert paper. Number one, the world needs to have a rapid response team within WHO that is completely out of politics and bureaucracy to respond very effectively to health crisis. Number two, we need to support the country systems, the WHO offices in the countries. We need to support the WHO regional office for Africa to respond to Africa issues as they are and look at the context.
Okay.
We need to support surveillance. Detect, protect, and respond effectively and timely. Those are the key pointers. We struggle
well noted.
A lot. We struggle a lot to get healthcare workers on the field.
We have to. Thank you, Mr. Nyenswa. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today. And that was Liberia's Deputy Health Minister who joined us today. I'm your host, Linor Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.